Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 88. This is Captain Mike, and there is Kane over there. Kane today is going rogue on us, doing a little bit of underground video filing for us today. What's going on over there, man?
Having some internet issues today, it was working actually a little while ago, and then it just flipped off. I think it's the computer, so I'm just going, coming from you live from the Kane basement, or the other side of the room, as I just call it, just a little phone propped up. I mean, you can see the studio is right up there, but just technically not working, so yeah, I'm going rogue style.
Nice, today. Yeah, so, going, doing a little,
but I'm here!
Doing a little it's underground, ready. A little underground, filmmaking for us today. He looked like he was in a film development room, the dark room, trying to fix some develop film earlier. So
I kept thinking of that.
Well, what we got, I just want to remind everybody, we're a month and a week away from KaiserCon. So make sure you guys do check out KaiserCon. It's a local here in Orlando. It's at the Kaiser University. It's going to be a convention, small convention. First one, actually, really, that I've gone to since – actually, no, I take that back. It'll be the second one I've gone to since the whole COVID issue. But we will be there. We're going to have our own booth there at the KaiserCon. So make sure you guys do check us out. They've got some great stuff there. I went last year, and a lot of any Doctor Who fans out there, they got a couple of Doctor Who booths out there. They've got some authors for books, fantasy books, comic books. And some other things. They're going to have a cosplay group out there for the Gotham. I wish I could remember their name now. It's Gotham. Shoot, I can't remember what they are now.
Knights?
I think it's something Knights, yeah. But yeah, they're a local group. I think also the 501st is going to be out there for you Star Wars fans. So make sure you guys do check it out. Kane and I will be out there Friday and Saturday. Friday evening starting around 4:35. And then, of course, Saturday day we'll be there 9:30 to, I think, the con shuts down around 4:35. So make sure if you guys want to come out, say hi. We'd love to see you guys. I'm sure, you know, we know everybody pretty much that listens, but it'd be great to see you guys come out there, show support, just walk around, get out and see folks. You know, I know I don't get out as much as I used to, and I know somebody else sitting right next to me doesn't get out as much either. So it'll be a once in a lifetime or once in 2020 chance to get a chance, you know, to see us both out. Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm gonna pry myself away.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher. We just celebrated a birthday from her. So make sure you guys do, you know, show your love. Watch some Star Wars. I mean, I know it's Halloween time. We are gonna watch our scary movies. You know, but you know, go watch a, you know, Postcards from the Edge, maybe. That's, I mean, that is kind of a scary movie when you really sit down and look at it.
Ooh. Wow, yeah.
Scary movie. You know, or even do yourself, watch a Blues Brothers. You know, she's in there. She's a little scary in the Blues Brothers. It's, yeah, like that psycho girlfriend tracking them down.
Not the kind of girl you want to go out with, that's for sure.
So make sure you guys, we did post a little thing about, wishing her a happy birthday, but, you know, that we do miss her. Amazing actress and a personality in Hollywood that Hollywood is sadly missing right now.
Yeah, I believe, I think her daughter, Billy Lord, I think she recently had a kid. So, and I think,
yes, yeah.
One of the kid's middle name is Fisher. I think Carrie's in there. I think it's Fisher something. Fisher, I don't know, some dude that she married. But I know Fisher's in there, so I think they had a little girl, and the name will carry on.
Yeah, let's hope so.
I guess that's always good.
Let us hope so. So a lot of news came down this week. One big one, actually, and I think we need to get this, knock this one out of the way. It's not so much news, but by Friday, we will be deep into Season 2 of Mandalorian. So yeah, this coming Friday the 30th, Disney Plus, if you guys are not signed up yet, make sure you guys get signed up. But Mandalorian Season 2 is dropping, and there is tons and tons of rumors and, you know, possibilities coming out. So right now we do know that we do have the Mandalorian returning. We do have the rest of the cast from last season returning. All right, we do see the faces. But the talk really is the rumors that are out there. One is Rosario Dawson, Ahsoka Tano. She has been, you know, with the Clone Wars, Rebels. If you guys have not seen either one, do make sure you guys do check those out. Great, great Star Wars character, you know, strong female character from Star Wars. That isn't what do they call them? Mary Janes? Is that the proper term I'm using?
Oh, yeah, Mary Sue.
Mary Sue.
I think it's Mary Sue, isn't it?
Yeah, Mary Sue. Mary Sue. Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, definitely a strong character. She
can't be a Mary Jane. That's Marvel.
Sorry, I know. I'm just making it. I couldn't remember. I know it started with a Mary.
Okay.
I know she was a hard pill to swallow at the beginning of the Clone Wars. I had trouble, but once that character became... They dug into her and they really showed what kind of a person she was. She became one of my favorite ones, actually. In fact, I do have on my desk my Ahsoka Tano pop. So definitely one of my favorites. So there has been talk that Rosario Dawson has always wanted to play the role. And I know we've had our talk about it already. What do you think of the possibilities of her being on here?
Well, she's a sweaty. I know that. That's a big thing. And apparently before she got hired to do this role, she was, you know, like you just said, she's always wanted to be Ahsoka Tano.
But this is rumor. This is rumor, though. This is rumor. This is all we're talking rumor right now. There's never been a word from Disney that she's been signed on. There's never been a word from her that she's been signed on. It's just fanboy rumor and a lot of hearsay and some of these sites that do have a 60-40 percentage of being right. So yeah, I'm going talking rumor right now that
she's gonna show up.
Yeah.
I wonder if she actually shows up this year at all.
That's what the question was. I was asking you. What do you think?
Sorry. It's a little distorted right now. I think she'll appear the last episode.
You think so? Okay,
I think that's going to be the big thing. Sorry.
That's what I'm thinking as well. Yeah. I was kind of thinking because when this rumor started, they'd already been done filming. And like when this rumor came out that, oh, she was signed. Well, literally, I think 3 weeks before that rumor started, they had already announced they were done wrapping up filming. So I can kind of agree with you on that. What do you think about,
for a little cameo. And then,
what do you think about this one? Katie Sackhoff coming in for Mandalorian playing Bo-Katan because she was known as
Bo-Katan.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of these casting rumors got pretty much leaked out. Like you said, I think if you see her, probably towards the end of the season, again, probably a small cameo. And then I think most of these characters and these rumors that we're hearing, you're going to see them next season. I think that's what they're getting ready for. Yeah, I think you'll see like little hints of them, but that's about it. But I think they'll be there, but not this season at all. I think this season's pretty much shot, done, and they got their stories and angles worked out.
Yeah.
Like, is Boba Fett going to show up? We don't know. He might show up. So anything, I think you'll see this small little increments.
Well, the only reason I think the only one I can really put more weight into is Bo-Katan. And the main reason is what did we see at the very end of the season? The Darksaber show up. She was the last. Spoilers are gone, guys. You've had a year. It's been a year. We're in the clear. She was the last one to see that, you know, when you look at the timing of, you know, the Star Wars, you know, chronological order, last time we saw the Darksaber was in her hand and now we see him having it. So she's the one I'm going to say, yes, I would definitely like to see her show up. Again, I love Katie, anything she's ever done. I've always been a huge fan of that. And then let's see.
Well, I want to see how Moff Gideon got it. That's the thing I want to see.
Well, yeah, we're ready.
How did she get the Darksaber? How did he pry it away? I mean, that's got to probably be one of the big central stories this season.
I mean, if you looked into the history of the Mandalorian during the siege of Mandalorian, we only saw the Battle of Mandalore from the end of the Clone Wars, but there was another siege that happened that we have not seen yet. And that is when he gets it. That's a known story in the canon that he does get it that way, that he is one of those. But it's just interesting how did he get it? Like you were saying, you know.
Yeah, because that's sort of Bo's line, I guess you could say, or lineage. And then at the end of season one, I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, it was good enough how good the show was in its first season, Baby Yoda and all that stuff. But then you see the Darksaber, like, whoa, Well, yeah, now you're getting to sweaty territory.
Yeah, that's makes a, yeah, that
this
was,
guy very happy.
Yeah, that was a big shocker to see that at the very end. You know, to bring that I mean that was a real deep cut when they brought that in. So another big news that came out. So make sure you guys do check it out. Mandalorian season 2 Friday. I have Friday off, by the way, so I will be watching it.
Friday, sure. I'm not sure. Me too. I'll be watching that.
So what do you have? I know you were bringing something up to me earlier in the green room about something big next year coming out that you're looking forward to.
Yeah. Well, a couple guys are coming back for the reshoots of the Zack Snyder Justice League. One of them is Joe Manganiello. He'll be coming back as Deathstroke, and the Joker. Jared Leto's coming back as well. So we got these guys officially coming back for a couple reshoots. I'm not sure if they're adding new scenes or just touching up scenes that are already there. But, yeah, they're coming back. So
I'm hoping new scenes, because that's been my biggest complaint about the Snyder Cut. I was like, what? We're not going to get more in the end. It's still going to be ending at the same point. We did a midnight movie last night that's coming out this Wednesday. It has one of the actors, so he's in a small role in Sleepy Hollow we did for Midnight Movies. And he plays a small role, but apparently he's going to be the voice of Deasad or Deasade or however you want to pronounce it.
Deasad. Peter Guinness, right?
Yeah, Guinness, yep.
Is it Peter McGuinness or Guinness?
No, just Guinness. Just okay. Guinness.
I remember that name. Just kidding. Oh, not McGinnis?
Okay. Not McGinnis, yeah.
Who am I confusing him with?
You're probably thinking of Alec.
It's probably what it is. I'm thinking Alec Guinness. So, Peter McGinnis.
But yeah, he's
going to
be on
he's
there.
The voice of this.
Yeah. So it's... I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I wanted more Joker. I've always been a fan of Joker. You and I both have been not a huge fan, but we've been very big supporters of the Jared Leto Joker. So I'd be happy to see, you know, him do more of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been unfairly punished or harshly punished for all this, his roles as a Joker, because you didn't get to see him a lot in Suicide Squad. You saw a couple scenes, and he was pretty good. I mean, I liked him. I know a couple people have posted on our page how, I don't want to see him again. I'm like, well, you really didn't see him the first time. I don't know where you're complaining. You're going to get more, flush it out, and maybe you like him more. I don't know. I just like this version of it. I mean, to be honest, I think we could be done with the Joker, but
yeah,
if we're going to get him.
If we're going to get more of anything, I'd like to see more. I think he deserves the ability to, you know, make up for it. I think this is his way because, you know, he wasn't part of. Yeah. I think Snyder was a executive producer on Suicide Squad, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was. And when you and I watched it for Midnight Movies, we discovered as in our research watching the movie, we discovered that the whole story behind what they were going to do, they weren't going after Amanda Waller, and it wasn't the Enchantress that was doing all these things. It was actually Darkseid, through Steppenwolf, and then all those faceless creatures apparently were supposed to be the pair demons. So. To me, I think that's great that when we just found that out, I was like, okay, that gives more life and breathes new life into the movie for me. I'm just hoping that, you know, maybe with Snyder doing this, maybe he's putting a Band-Aid on the full first part of the DC world. If he goes through it and that's what he does, I'll be completely okay with this. I was one that was very vocal about getting this movie. I don't think it's needed, but if he does a little Band-Aid and a little, you know, patch-up work for the first four movies and fixes those, I think he'll be good.
Yeah, that's all you need. I mean, he's going to get to finish out his trilogy. That's the big thing. So good for him. And maybe eventually we'll see that David Ayer cut of the Suicide Squad, which he is rambling about now.
That one, I'm gonna beat the same thing I kind of said about the Zack Snyder thing. Unless they fix it the way it was originally supposed to be written, that's the only way it can be done. And that's a lot of reworking.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, did they shoot it already, or is this basically storyboard stuff?
What?
The Suicide Squad cut.
No, they were in the middle of shooting and they had to change it up. So.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, so they never shot it. Okay. Yeah, so I thought it was like I thought it was something they got touch up or something.
No, it's.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get myself comfy here.
I can say that. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm just letting people know. I'm not trying to like move around.
No, it's okay. We've gotten a couple of comments of folks saying he needs more color. What's going on? It's like he's.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys, like, man. It's just I'm trying to make do with what I have right now. Lucky I'm even here at all.
Yeah,
that's my commitment. One way or another, I found a way to get on.
I was just going to throw him on here, just the just audio, but he was able to at least work this much out. So he's got a good angle. You can see right up his nose, folks. Look at that.
Yeah. I trim my nose hairs too.
So something came out, kind of in tying in with your Justice League, what you were talking about. I saw this, and I don't know if you did. Something came out from Cultured Nerd has confirmed that Ben has not only signed up for this, but a Batman movie and possibly an HBO Max series. What do you think on that one?
Where does it come from? What site?
The Cultured Nerd.
I never heard of Cultured Nerd.
I haven't either, but they're talking about, you know, with his work that he was supposed to be doing on the Batman, on the Flash movie, that there's talk of maybe extending that out to, they're proposing an HBO Max series or a project for Ben to do that. And I think, personally, and I know your opinion about Ben doing Batman, I would love to see it. And there's a lot of people out there that that I hear about. And basically what they're talking about, the series is just going to be the backstory for Robin and how losing Dick made Batman into the jaded individual he is now.
Not a bad idea. So that means we'll probably get to see like the Rogues Gallery, according to Zach, then, or whoever's going to do
well,
it.
Well, it's just talking about the backstory of losing Dick Grayson. And then so basically death in the family, but with Dick, and make it a small movie like they're talking about. And what I think it's pretty much set in stone, but the Obi-Wan movie is just a one season. Why not do an eight episode, 10 episode Batman story, death in the family, but
that'd
Dick
be kind of cool. So you're gonna have to bring Leto back, right? Leto's gonna have to come back. You're probably gonna have to bring Margot Robbie, because I guess their version of the story is a little bit different than the original Death in the Family. I mean, but they're killing Dick Grayson.
Well,
so
I mean, you don't really need Margot for it. This can just be Batman and Joker, the good classic Batman Joker, you know, off that we have, and then just how is he dealing with it?
Well,
so with the concept, that's all. That's just kind of the concept they were talking about for the series would be centered around that, and I think that would be me personally. I think that would pretty be.
Is it set in stone that's going to be about him losing Dick Grayson?
That's just the rumor mill that's going around. I know you and I don't like to tiptoe in the rumor mill, but I thought that was an interesting rumor that he's back. He is definitely back for doing Batman. We already know that for Zack Snyder. We already know that for Flash. But maybe get him to delve into. And that's one of the big backstories. I mean, to you and me and all the sweaties we know sat there when we saw the Robin suit and we all went, oh, what happened? Well, we knew what happened, but we wanted to see what happened. You made that comment probably two months ago. And I was like, man, that's a really cool idea to take that and just run a season and show the first two episodes of a little backstory of Dick as Robin, and then what happened, and then maybe like the last, you know, 5 to 4 is how Batman became the way he was, why he became so jaded, so bottled up, and maybe show the penguins that he mentioned.
Exploding penguins?
Yeah. You know, maybe we get to see that. And I just think it would be fun to take.
Yeah, that'd be a nice nod. Or, you know, I'll play devil's advocate with you. What if, it's a big if, I mean, you're going to sign Ben to do this supposed series. What if it's not about Death in the Family? What if it's not about Dick Grayson? What if it's about going forward, about that movie that Ben was going to direct, the Batman, that script, which basically is a take on Arkham Asylum?
It could go that way.
They could go that way too. I mean, they did. Joe is coming back for reshoots for you know, this Justice League. I mean, and HBO Max does have money. It's the same, you know, cable network that did Game of Thrones, and Game of Thrones wasn't a cheap show.
No,
I'm just saying, what a great thing to do. I mean, you have your own, and they said it, but I think I'm gonna keep going back to that DC fandom thing that they had. The one they had Hamada, they had Berlanti, and they had I think Jim Lee was on there.
Yeah.
And they were talking about like the differences of the universes. Like, it's okay that this Batman's over here and this Batman's over there. And, you know, you have the multiverses. That was the first time that you know, we knew about it, but it was actually acknowledged. You're like, oh, okay, you know, oh, there can be a different Batman in there.
Because that used to be always the big rule. That was what Jim Lee said during that. He's like, no, the rule was from higher up that if TV has a plan for Batman, nobody touches Batman. Obviously, the comic books can touch him, but nobody else could touch Batman until that time was, you know, came, or they said, hey, you know what, we're not going to do what we thought we were going to do. You can have him back now. And that was where we ran into that issue. And it wasn't until really, I mean, when you really want to put it to it, it was last year's crossover for television for the crossover event. That was mm-hmm. the moment that we knew before we even saw the DC fandom. That was the moment we knew when we saw Grant and then we saw Ezra Miller's Flash side by side. That moment, every sweaty, every fanboy, whatever you want to call us, all went, wait, are they? They can do this now, and they're willing to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it. Yeah, when you cross over the TV and the movies at the same time, yes, Marvel did that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they just tiptoed their little pinky toe in there, and then they stopped. They pulled out so fast. It's like, what happened? Did you get cold feet? What you know? Because we saw Lady Sif, you know, in there, and they did refer to the event and, you know, and everything like that. And then they just stopped it for whatever reason.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Like the Netflix series, they used to do the same thing mm-hmm. too. They never outright mentioned what happened. Avengers, like you just said, the event, that's all it was. And these were like news companies, or they would mention like a big green monster or Cap Shield or something. But when they did that crossover, when you saw Ezra showing up and meet Grant, that was like basically saying, all right, guys, you know, and before Jim Lee and Berlanti and all these guys were talking, then they basically said, yes, there is a multiverse. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We're not going to tiptoe around it. We're going to go and dive right in. And I think that's going to be their thinking as it is going forward. You know, five separate universes. Yes. You know, you got Robert Pattinson's Batman is what, year two? He's a younger Batman, even though we both have issues with it. I wish we had my theme music about the Batman trailer, but you know, I've seen it 150 times. So I don't like it. Yes, guys, I still don't like it. But
there you go.
That's it. I was waiting for it. I was like, yeah.
I hit the wrong button. I thought it was a little.
Love faux pas on that point. But so you can have a Batman out here in year five, year three, and then you can have the Batman that I wanted. And I think Mike has always said that he's wanted. I was actually hearing some of the Midnight movies on the way home from work, and I was listening to what you had said. Like, your favorite version of Batman has always been the one that's grizzled. But he's been doing it for a long time. Yeah. He's not trying to learn how to throw a batarang. He already knows how to throw a batarang. He can throw four at a time instead of one at a time. So that established one. And I think if we get this one, you know, the future for HBO Max is like, you know, they're talking about the Green Lantern series. They're talking about other stuff they want to do. Like I said,
they've got Green Lantern. They've got Justice League Dark they're talking about. So, I mean, there's definitely life there. They want to bring it there, and again, doing a Batman. Oh, in the Gotham one, the Gotham one they're talking about.
Yeah, the Gotham. Yeah, yeah, the one that's based in the what's his name?
It's during the Reeves. It's pre
the Bat Reeves. Yeah,
it's supposed to be pre this Batman. Like, he's just a rumor, and they're kind of searching out for him.
What was that series of comics? I think you were telling me. I think it was last year. It was a Gotham something. It was basically about the Gotham Police Department.
It was Gotham PD is what it was called.
Gotham PD, basically, it was basically all about the cops and the corruption going on. And
that's the one that really focused, I think, in the late 90s, really focused on Renee, you know, because Renee was introduced in the animated series, but that's when they, like, really breathed life into her, breathed life into Harvey, got, you know, went a different route with Gordon. I mean, Gordon was there, but he wasn't the main focus. It was all about the detectives and them just handling the thugs, not the psychos. You know, they left the psychos.
I think Batman was in that comic book, but you would just see, like, his cape or something, or in the shadows. Like, you barely – kind of the thing that you've always wanted, like, when you were talking about the inception of the Gotham series that ended, we always thought that's what we were going to get. We didn't think we were going to get, like, you know, Bruce Wayne when he's 15 years old. We always thought, oh, you're going to get the Gotham PD series, where, you know, where he's – Batman is established. He's there. You just don't see him. Yeah. It's a shadow.
And that's kind of what they're going to be doing here, so
– yeah, I think we're going to get that now.
Yeah. Actually, now, something that, you know, we talked about Mandalorian earlier, and of course, now we're talking about Batman. What do you think about it looks like, and you and I talked about this not that long ago, but the Batman will now utilize the Mandalorian, the groundbreaking virtual background technology that the Mandalorian's doing. They're going to start using that for the rest of the filming for the Batman. And I think with the time and place we live now, our new world, I think that method is going to be great, because they can do filming. If nobody's ever seen it, look on Disney Plus. There's I'm trying to remember the name of the it's a series about what happens in the back.
Is it the director series? They're talking about what the special effects.
They talked to the directors. They talked about the cast. They talked about everybody. But then one of the last ones was that they actually sat down and talked about the actual production of Mandalorian and how that's not outside. That's inside. That's in a bubble. That's in a dome. And the virtual dome basically triggers on – it focuses on the main actor. And as he's moving around, the area moves around and follows him. And if he stops, the background stops instantly. So it's a virtual background around him. And then – and of course, I think that's great because you're not going out. You're limiting people in the studio. So now all you need is the actor, the director, you know, the supporting, you know, guys behind the scenes. And then it's just them in a – closed, confined environment. And I think that's a great way for movies and televisions to pick up and go forward, you know, during this time, because there are going to be moments where we can't, you know, we can't get out there and do what we need to do, you know, or, you know, for that, what they need to do to, you know, produce.
You know, it's funny that you say this, and, you know, they're basically going to utilize this technology, because I think you talked about it a while ago. Even before they even mentioned this, they were like, you know, it'd be a good idea to use that Mandalorian technology. And then lo and behold, they're using it. Because it's funny, because I was, before I had my internet, before it went down, I saw some set pictures. They're actually filming in Chicago, the Batman. If it was a Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne, basically on motorcycles. So I find it interesting that, yeah, they're going to utilize this technology, but they're still filming outside. So.
Well, I think they're finishing up the outside ones. And I think now they're going to go inside. I mean, just look at the movie we watched for Midnight Movies this week. You know, Sleepy Hollow. All the outside stuff was done on a soundstage, and that was a massive soundstage. They can do a smaller room and do everything there. All they need to worry about is what are the actors walking on, and what are they physically touching, and everything else around them can just be the digital.
It'll be simpler that way. And like you said, in the world we live in nowadays, not to repeat what you just said, you know, we're going to have to utilize this technology going forward, you know, because we have to adjust. So, but it's a good idea, especially for movies like this or other movies you're going to do. You know, it's a good rule of thumb that directors and producers actually look at this technology going forward, because you can use it pretty much in anything. You know, TV shows, I think last year when they were shut down because of COVID, you know, they didn't know what to do. One of the TV shows that was hit hardest was The Blacklist. They couldn't finish their season, last two episodes, because a lot, you know, what everything happened. So what they did, if you watch that final episode, they basically shot it, the footage they had, and they reshot it with like animated version. It looks a little wonky and weird. If you guys have never seen it, look at it. It's like basically they had to do what they had to do. So it's like half the show is live action and the other half is animated. It's kind of strange. Check it out. Yeah, it's like the last episode of season 7 of The Blacklist. Check it out.
That is definitely so. What do you have? I know you said you had something else.
Yeah, you know, our good buddy Simon Kingberg, you know, who basically ruined, you know, Dark Phoenix, although the music is great. He's going to be on board. He's going to be writing for a Battlestar Galactica movie, which I find interesting because he's a better writer than he is a director, in my opinion. He's written some really good movies. He wrote First Class. I believe he wrote, what is the other X-Men movie? The really good Days of Future Past. He wrote that. And then unfortunately he directed Dark Phoenix, which, you know,
I don't blame him on for Dark Phoenix. Dark Phoenix was a last hurrah for Fox. Fox just wasn't into X-Men anymore and they just wanted to get a movie out. I don't blame him at all. I think what he was given, he did a great job on.
Yeah, there's some, like, I was just thinking about that now. Like, it's not necessarily his fault. That's more of a studio thing. And like you just said, like, they're just trying to throw that movie out there. And there are some cool scenes in there, like the last scene when they're on the train, really cool scene. But, you know, it just wasn't, you know, it's like their second shot at Dark Phoenix. And they, let's be honest,
unless they have Avengers money, we're not getting a true Dark Phoenix. I mean, that's just, you just have to, you know, have to accept that Fox just doesn't have the budget of a Disney.
No, but I wonder now going forward, now that they have control of all these characters again, if they even try to do it again.
Yeah, they will, because you're talking at least, you know, a decade from now, we're probably going to see a Dark Phoenix. It's because first have to introduce them. We have to introduce them into the world. Then we have to build up the character to become the Phoenix. And we're going to, I think we're going to see that if they continue doing movies, the MCU, you know, MCU movies, the way they're doing them, that they'll eventually get there. It's just going to take some time.
You know what the funny thing, I was looking at a couple of YouTube shows and they were comparing, you know, that Dark Phoenix movie with the other one, the Last Stand version of it. And the guy basically was talking about, you know, how come they messed this up? And he was there with somebody else, kind of like what we're doing. And he basically said, well, the reason it failed wasn't because of the story, because if you think about the whole Phoenix Saga story, basically it's the Jean Grey character. Jean Grey is the very sympathetic, you know, hey, I'm your counselor, you know, tell me what's on your mind. She's like the therapist of the X-Men. And then when you actually see in the book where she makes that turn to turning to the Dark Phoenix, it's like a big shock because, oh my God, you know, she's been there for us all this time. And then she just flips the switch and now she's this dark, evil entity. And I think in the movies they got that wrong because it was like, you didn't see that. You saw they had moments of the sympathetic Jean Grey, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they didn't have it like all the way. Like it, like every movie, she needs to be that character. But in the first X-Men movie, she had that little hesitancy, like a slight darkness in there. I'm like, no, she's got to be like not the happy-go-lucky, but like, hey, you know, are you okay? Everything's gonna be fine. I'm gonna guide you to this. Like, look at the animated series. I mean, I keep going back to that.
Well, the animated series took a while to get there. I mean, when did they get there?
Yeah,
you just need to – it's a build-up. You can't just
do it. Exactly. You got to – if you build her up, then it's like, oh, the fourth – oh, my God. Like, she's this now? And I think when we had done those movies, it was done such an, you know, such a way that, okay, I don't care. It's like, all right, like I could see it was coming a mile away. So.
And I think with the latest X-Men series, because they were so young too, we didn't get a chance to see the adult Jean. You know, the things that we did see her go through, I equated a lot of times that it was a young girl, you know, a teenager going, and she was trying to find her place in the world. The Jean that we see turn into, you know, the Dark Phoenix, she has found her place. She knows where she belongs. We got that person in the original X-Men, and there was that sympathetic because we saw how she took care of Logan, and, you know, but they jumped so quickly into the Dark Phoenix. Like, I think they could have waited a little bit longer, but I also understand they probably wanted to make it a trilogy and get done with it.
Yeah, I know. That's one of those storylines that I think you have to preach patience with that. Because it's such a massive build of how it becomes. And I think when you try to rush it, it screws it all up. It's kind of like, oh, let me just throw this out there. It's kind of like Batman versus Superman. Like, I love that movie for what it is. I think we both do. But I think if they had a clear understanding, like, you know what? Before we get to Batman versus Superman, let's do a Batman movie. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Well, no, that was something I agreed with too. Yeah. I mean, we needed an origin.
I think I'm just jumping off of what you said, because actually you were the one that said that. You were like, hey, man, it wouldn't have been better. It's like we got Man of Steel, then we go straight into the Batman. And then you find out at the end of the Batman, like, oh, he found it's about Superman. Then we're going to go to Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Then
we go. Yeah. We need a reason other than a 5-minute clip of, you know, getting shots from the Superman movie over this movie to understand that, okay, I just hate aliens. I'm like, okay, there needs to be more to that. There needs to be something deeper to that anchor.
And to go on to that, like the Dark Knight Returns comic, which is my favorite comic of all time. How come the impact is so good when he's fighting Superman? Why? Because they've had years of friendship, and you find out like they eventually that friendship was just strained. And before they even fight, it's like they don't get along. Like, okay, Superman's a yuppie for the government now. I can't stand him. So when they actually come together and fight, it means something. Oh boy, this is gonna go down, and you know why? Because of the history that those two have had. And then like the movies, they just didn't do that. They were like, no, go throw it out there. Wait a minute, look. The building's blowing up. I'm pissed at you. So, I don't know. I just think going forward, hopefully they can just apply that, especially with HBO Max now. They can take their time. Like Stargirl. Last year, Stargirl was only 10 episodes, and I felt it was so good because what do? They built up the characters.
Yeah, you always have to build up characters.
I just think that's like it's an old-time thing of storytelling, building them up, kind of like when you read a book.
It's just,
you
know, it's not an old-time thing. It's just good storytelling. That's all that is. I call it old
because a lot of people don't use it.
Okay.
That's what I was just trying to say. Like, if you look at a lot of the TV shows, you know, they rush through stuff. I like patience. So.
Well, it's something that, and I disagree with it. A lot of... We've seen this probably in the last like 8-9 years where there is this thought that the younger generation needs instant gratification. And we've seen bad storytelling getting done and quick storytelling happening because they have that thought that it needs that that's what this generation wants. And I'm like, I know, I think the generation just every generation just wants good storytelling. They do like to get certain things quicker. You know, Twitter, Facebook, you know, all the social media, they're able to get those things quicker. But I think good storytelling needs to happen. You and I talked about this years ago for wrestling. If anybody doesn't know, Kane and I are both big wrestling fans. And there was a storyline that was going on, and it happened so fast that one week, I know it's a silly storyline, but it was the Bray Wyatt storyline where he took Kane and Undertaker's powers. All right, it's a silly, weird thing. Well, literally, one week it happens, and then I think 2 weeks later, when they're on an overseas tour, it ends. I'm like, this could have been built up for 3 months, but taking it up to the October, you know, Hell in a Cell, made it a big part of the pay-per-view. Instead, they just rushed through it so fast that nobody cared. And it became a joke in that it was such a, because it was such a silly thing. Yes, it was silly with the concept of, you know, him stealing these powers from these two wrestlers. But if they would have made it go longer, they could have built a reason more for people to care. And I think they just rushed through it way too fast. And
yeah, to borrow one of our inmates' words, Brant Gimmick, by the way, we have to get him out of intensive care. He's been there a while. Make me care. Like, when you build up a storyline in wrestling, especially, you know, you go through these things, like you just said, it like 3 to 4 or 5 months, that's a good way to do a storyline. Now you can't do it like you used to do it, like a year in advance. Like, that's never going to happen again, which sucks, but it's the truth. You're not going to have year-long storylines anymore. But if you do it like a 3, 4, 5 month integral window and build it up the same way like you were, like, oh, wait a minute, like every week on Monday Night Raw, like, what's going to happen this week? Oh, it's going to build to this. Like, this first pay-per-view is not going to be the ending of it. It's going to be a continuation. You know, just keep going and building. And then you're going to have your final build at Hell in a Cell, whatever. Then it ends. Then from that, you spawn off into another storyline. It's kind of like you just said, instant gratification nowadays is kind of like the worst thing. But I think that's done because mostly of the writers, producers think, hey, we want everything now. And they don't. Like, no. You just said, if you give me good storytelling, they're probably going to watch it.
Well, did we just not see Disney MCU just tell a 10-year story? All right. 10, it took them 10 years. So
22 movies.
Yep, 10 years. So
10 years.
So the audience out there, the young, the old, they're out there. They want just good storytelling. And I know I'm going to hear probably people go, oh, well, it's just MCU. It's just, you know, Flash movies. It's still storytelling. Sorry.
Storytelling, man. Storytelling is storytelling. Like, if you've got a good comic, you're going to keep reading it, right? I mean, right now, we're kind of in that weird limbo zone where we haven't found, like, comics to read that are just catching our attention. No, because why? The story's not – there's no good story.
No, it's such a dry spell for me right now.
I'm reading Death Metal right now, and I'll be honest, where's it going? Like, they've given me, like, the ham, and they've given me the cheese, but they're not giving me the bread yet. I'm waiting for it. I'm like, okay – you're telling me what's going to happen, but you're not doing anything. You're just giving me – and I like wacky characters. I do. I've told you this off air. I love the wacky characters. But it's just like, okay, where am I going with this? What's going to happen? Like, I don't see the end of the rainbow. I just see more convoluted crap coming. I see more Batman who are like a 4x4 truck or a snake. I'm like, what is this? Like, just give me a story. Just keep going. Like, you gave me the weird Batman last year. I was cool. Now you're giving me a car and a mage, a Muppet. Like, what is going on here?
The Batman.
It's just the Batmuppet.
Sorry. I just see Kermit coming around. I am Batman.
Hey! You make fun of it, but it's going to happen. Now, sure, somebody's going to make the Batmuppet. I'm telling you.
So what do you think about this? There's still talk. I know that originally, I think about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we heard news that DC had pulled the Black Adam out of the projected, you know, release dates, but it's still catching news. There's still news about it getting made, you know, still production going on, like post-production or pre-production, sorry. But a new announcement is Black Adam they've announced he's star to play Hawkman, Aldous Hodge. And if nobody knows who he is, probably one of my favorite movies that I've ever seen him in, who was a Straight Outta Compton. He played MC Ren in that, but he's also been part of Leverage, the TNT series. So he is set to play Hawkman, and of course, you know, being a good actor, and he's actually picking up material and reading a lot of old DC comics, which I think is great. But I know this is going to sound strange when I say this.
Cue it up.
My thought of Black Adam, not not Black Adam, sorry, Hawkman. Yes, he's definitely an ethnic character, but not black. He should be Middle Eastern, because their history, their connection to the world is the Middle East, Egypt. That's where it is. I think it's, I'm not trying to take a character away or a job from a black actor, because I think they deserve it and they need to have more black superheroes. But there are black superheroes that he could play, and I think he's going to do a great job. I can't wait to see what he can do, because I am a fan of his. I just think that character deserves a Middle Eastern actor that they could have put in there.
You know who was the first person I thought of to play Hawkman? And maybe you may or may not agree with him. Who was the guy who played one of the Njami in the Mummy movies with Brendan Fraser? The guy with the long hair, he played like the...
He would be good, yes, but he's a little too old now. He was in...
He was in Blacklist, so he's a little bit older.
Yeah, I mean, great. I know you're thinking, yes, if it was made then, yes, he would have been perfect. If we could find somebody in that vein, in that
but
look.
But I get what you're saying, ethnicity. Say that a little bit, tongue twister. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you're not trying to say, don't hire black actors. You're just saying, hey, man, you know what?
When I
made this character, I envisioned him like
just because
this.
Of his history. The history of that character is all based in the Middle East. And I think I think it would be a smarter route to go.
Yeah, you're not going to make Shang-Chi a white guy, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that just takes it away. That's just like, come on now.
I mean, Hawkman is a white character, so I understand. I'm okay with that. Actually, you know, this is one of those times I'm completely okay with the, you know, changing it because of his background and the history of his, you know, his second character or his human identity is that of an archaeologist as well. So it's if you go either route with the Hawkman, because Hawkman has two origin stories. You know, you have the ones from Thanagarian, then you do have the ones that are here that, you know, it's just like it was in Legends, where they pass on their lives over and over again, him and Shara always going back and forth. So either way, they both basically stay kind of Middle Eastern. And that's my only thought. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's cool that he's going to be doing it. Again, I loved what he did during Straight Outta Compton. Yes. And it made me care about the character that MC Ren. I think he would do better elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I'm on board with that one. I wonder if they're going to introduce Hawker on that film. I mean, you kind of have to, don't you?
Really. No, it's not the Hawkman movie. When the Hawkman movie comes along, then yes, it's just like, why didn't they introduce Batgirl when they did Batman versus Superman? I mean, she's not needed for the story right now. It's the Black Adam story. Hawkman's a secondary character. You're not going to introduce the whole Hawk family at that point. Now, if he does a great job and they're like, hey, you know what? We want to make a Hawkman movie. Then, yeah, now you have to bring in Shayera, and then you have to choose which route you want to take. Because that's the big one.
Yeah, that's the big one. Yeah, because I don't think Hawkman has that many cool villains that I know of, besides the Thanagarians.
There are a few. I mean, his original backstory when he came here and he was in search for a Thanagarian that came here, and he began having his own powers. So I'm
kind of curious to see what they go with that. But yeah, I'm back on track with that. Yeah, I agree. More ethnicity type characters, you know, just to keep in the same wavelength. You don't have to keep doing a 180 with these characters, give it to somebody else. But that's what Hollywood is nowadays. I don't know. Maybe they're a little bit sentimental. They just like, hey, just take the job. Who knows? Oh, we don't care. Just the comics. No, I care.
Well, again, I don't think he's not going to do a great job. It's just in my head.
No,
I was like, you know what? I would love to. This is who I think it should have been, or this ethnicity should have been.
Yeah, we're going to find out probably, 2 years?
Depends on when they. Yeah, it depends on when they do it. That's the big question. When are they gonna? You know, when is it finally gonna get put together, and brought out?
Yeah, because I heard that James Bond, it's being shipped around for streaming service now.
Yeah, right now.
So
yeah,
that's the big thing. So, I mean, I don't know. Are we going to see these movies now on streaming service? Who knows?
I think we will.
The smartest way to go.
I think
we will too.
Yeah, I think. I mean, right now, I think what they should do is they should split it. send it out to theaters, let the theaters have something so they can bring their employees back for those people that want to go and get that and get the movie experience, okay? Then say, okay, well, we're also going to put it out here if you want to watch it here, if you're not one of those ones that wants to take the chance or wants to do that. Price-wise, I don't think they need to rape us like Mulan did.
No, that was
ridiculous, the pricing on that. I mean, you're literally talking double the price. And why are you trying to make twice as much money from me? Because when the movie comes out, the $15 that you're going to get when I go to the movie theater, or $20, depending on where you're at and what time you go, $15 to $20, I'm getting ready to send Disney $20 for this. Guess what? They're getting that full chunk plus the streaming service, but it's a Disney streaming service. So guess what? Disney's getting the whole money. It's not like you have to share it with a movie theater or anything like that. So why would you double up the price? I think in their head, they're like, well, we're not going to get as many people going. Well, you got even less when you charged it. Yeah. If you dropped it down 10 to 15 and made it a normal movie price, then guess what? I would have bought Mulan instead of, you know, not seeing it because I haven't seen it yet. I think if the other movies start doing that, I think that'll be smart to just get it out there, do it at a reasonable price. I understand you got to make your money back. Completely understand that. If not 15, maybe 20. I'll be good with that. But what was it, $30 they were charging, or 40, or what was it for Mulan? I can't remember.
It was $29.99. When it came out, I was at work and I messaged you like, look, Mulan's coming out. Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to do like a streaming thing. I go, yeah, but you're going to get to rent it. How much? $29.99. Yeah. You're like, what?
$29.99. I buy it. I'll wait. I'll buy it for $15 on Vudu, you know, when it comes out or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I get they wanted to make their money back, and they just went nuts.
You just got to think of a plan how to do it. You can't. I understand, like you just said, you want to make your dough back, and I guess their thinking is like, wait, it's not in the movie theaters. What, tickets are $15. You got to figure two people, popcorn, concessions, make it 30. I mean, this just wasn't well thought out. No, they just kind of threw it out there. Because they need like a marketing.
Yeah, Disney's not getting the concession money. It's going to the movie theater. So you make how much? Oh, how much? When I walk into a movie theater, how much am I going to be charged to watch the movie? I don't get stuff every time I go. Most of the time, not going to say it. I know somebody's going to call me out if I say I don't get it all the time. But most of the other, sometimes I don't get it. I pay the price of the movie, and that's all I'm there to see. So why Disney felt that they needed to get more money? I understand it was a brand new world we're living in, and I don't know if they knew what to do. And I think it was a test run for them, and I think with them making that test run, everybody else saw the reaction like, oh, okay, let's not do what they did.
No. It was a rash decision is what it was. They didn't think it out. So hopefully they'll do their homework next time, because, you know, there's a lot of movies that basically have been pushed till, you know, next year. I mean, we don't get anything new coming out for the whole year, which to me sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks. Like, we have, honestly, like, we've been doing the Midnight Movie thing, which is great. We'll be visiting classics, bringing it back, and that's awesome. But, you know, we really have nothing new to report on. I can't even remember the last time
Patty's still trying to push Wonder Woman for a Christmas gift. That's the only little tiny shining light that we have, is she's trying to push that.
I don't think we're gonna get it. I mean, I know she's pushing it hard, but I think Warner Brothers is gonna be like, well, this movie made this much of money when it came out, and it could make more, and they'll push it back to next year.
Yeah,
I'm hopeful, but I'm also realistic, yeah. And I think they're just gonna.
And I love, like Netflix is doing pretty good. Unfortunately, I just recently canceled it, but canceled it right after Hubie came out. Hubie does Halloween. Oh man, it's a great movie, great fun.
It's funny because before I started this, I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Yeah, you need to watch that. You need to watch it. Any fan of Adam Sandler movies, all of his movies. There's return actors. There's return characters. There's even a lot of like deep cuts to some of his stuff, you know. You even every once in a while you hear O'Doyle rules, all right? you hear that a couple of times, you're like, yes. So my last one I have for you, I guess it's Morphin time. Did you hear they're getting ready to Yeah, they're getting ready to start a new franchise. Now, this one's interesting. They're doing new film and new TV series, and they're going to be connected.
Why not?
Smart move.
It is a smart move. I think it's a brilliant move to be at. Did they say which? Are they just going to reboot the entire line and start from scratch again?
Most likely, yeah, because it's actually the Hollywood Reporter is reporting that Jonathan Entwistle is taking over for the franchise film and TV. If nobody knows Entwistle, he did It's the End of the World. It's a Netflix show or movie or series. Sorry, yeah, it was a series on Netflix. So check that out. It's actually a pretty interesting one. So he is going to be developing it with Paramount. And I think it's a great idea. I mean, that's because you can, you know, do a movie every other year or once a year at the end of a season. You know, you're building up this cool story, you're building up these characters, and then bam, go out and say, bam, here it is, massive movie. And if they do it, if they go, you know, it doesn't say where they're going to be on television. If it's going to end up to being a Netflix series, then you can do a Netflix movie to tie into that, you know, which would be pretty cool to do. But, I mean, I was a fan of the 2017 film. I know you kind of liked it, and I was hoping that they would continue with that. Maybe they'll take that idea and go forward, but I think since he's coming in, we all know how it is when new guys come in, new directors and writers, they want their stamp. They kibosh everything that was before, and because they want their stamp on it. So we'll see what happens, see what he does, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's like we said before, storytelling. Like you just clearly mapped it out, because basically the way Entwistle is thinking is the same way you're thinking, and I think that's the way they're going to go. Like, you can have your series, or guess what? You build up the story, and what happens? You culminate it with a movie. Gee, what a original idea called good storytelling.
Yeah.
And you culminate it. Like, oh, man, I've watched this Power Rangers series with, like, 13 episodes on Netflix. Like, oh, like, who's going to show it? Lord Zedd. Oh, when can I watch it? December. It's coming out of the movie theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we'll, we shall see. I was never a big fan of the Power Rangers coming. I mean, I was at that age when they came out. I was, you know, getting away from that, cars and girls, that kind of thing. So I was getting out of it. It was a little silly, a little kiddie to me when I first originally saw it. When I went back, I think what got me was the movie. When they released the movie for that original series that they did for here in America, not the Japanese guys. Don't start yelling at me. I do know it started in Japan, and it was, the fight scenes were overdubbed from, you know, Japanese to, you know, and we overdubbed it with English. But the movie for the American version, that's when I was living out in LA, and I think I went to see it at the Chinese theater, and I was just like, man, this is a fun movie. Then I kind of started getting into it. And then I think I was like you. It's like after a couple of versions, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they kind of like, you know, they made too many. And it's like, who's the real Rangers? And like, I just fell off of that. But the thing that got me into it was, I think one week before, I was just going to college. And I got sick. And the Green Ranger story arc came on? The story of, like, the evil ranger. I guess he's the most popular Power Ranger out there. They love him because he has the cool sword, cool getup, cool dragon sword, whatever. And I got into it. I was like, oh, wow.
I don't know if that was going on when you were in college or not. No.
I don't remember. Maybe I was.
I don't think you were, because I think I know I was in school. I was 20, 21 when the movie came out. And he had already done the Green Ranger to the White. So that probably... Maybe.
No, but... I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the one he actually became the Green Ranger.
Yeah, that was the one. Like, I think I was still in high school, and so were you.
So that's the one I saw. I was like, oh, shoot, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he became the White Ranger, I thought that was like, okay, now he's the White Ranger. All right. Just make him green again. What's why are you going to make him white?
Well, there are things out there that the colors – there's a skit out there. You guys have to find it about the different colored Rangers.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think it's on YouTube. It's with Zordon. It's hysterical. Yeah,
Zordon being racist.
I'm going to make you the Pink Ranger. You're the red. Wait a minute.
why am I the yellow one? I don't
Yeah.
All right, guys. Looking forward to that, so. Do you have anything else for us today?
I think that's all I have. Yeah, the Kinberg stuff. I think. Let me see. Hold on, guys. I think I was looking at my notes. I had to go old school style this week. No, that's pretty much all I had.
All right, guys. Well, and I do apologize if your eyes have been bothered by my shirt today, guys. I'll show Kane here in a moment, but yeah, the print is off, so don't bother about it. I know it's been bothering me all day. but make sure you guys do check us out on streamerlinks.com/heroes_asylum. That's where you're going to find the link to all of our websites for listening to the Heroes Asylum, to hearing Midnight Movies, as well as all of our social links that you guys have been seeing strolling by you here. But Kane's also got those. So what else you got?
It's Twitter at the Heroes Asylum _podcast, Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. Check us out there. Facebook page, Heroes Asylum podcast. Check us out. Check out the Midnight Movies. Sleepy Hollow, I believe, is dropping this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And check out the archives. There's some really good stuff in there, guys. Check it out. Yep. You know, if you ever get bored one night, throw on a movie and let us, you could actually hear us talk about the movies. It's always sexy. And as always,
and if you guys, if you're interested, you can always join us as well.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yep. And don't forget, guys, KaiserCon coming up December 4th and 5th. So make sure you guys are there. And go ahead, Kane. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Get to the asylum.